Before we jump into episode 159, I have this short message for you. If you're looking for a place to make a year-end charitable donation, look no further than the Keystone Chapter of the National Federation of the Blind of Pennsylvania. Go to supportkeystonechapter.org to make the donation. You can punch in any amount, $1.87, $5.83, whatever. Go there, make the donation. All the donations are handled through PayPal, though you don't need a PayPal account. You can use any credit or debit card or your PayPal account to make the donation. We really appreciate it. And coming up in episode 159, you'll see where some of your donations go. Thank you so much, and we really appreciate your support.
From Studio B in Swarthmore, this is the I Can't See You podcast with David. It's like blind people for dummies.
Hello there, and welcome to episode 159 of the I Can't See You podcast. My name is David, at David Benj on all the socials. I really appreciate you joining me for this Christmas Eve episode, and I am recording this on the 23rd of December. So Merry Christmas to you if you celebrate Christmas, or even if you just like the season but don't really celebrate it, whatever. I hope you have a great holiday coming up on Saturday, and I hope you get whatever you wanted under your tree. And I do have a few things to talk about, but before we get into it, I do want to talk about Christmas. Now, Liz and I celebrate two different things. I always celebrated Hanukkah. I'm Jewish. Liz always celebrated Christmas. She's Catholic. So when our kids were little, we did both, and we put up decorations for both. And especially when our kids were little, we didn't really feel comfortable lighting a Hanukkah menorah. So Liz found this one in a book where it hangs on a wall, it's made of cloth, and it's got these, you know, it's got a way to put in these foam, they really look like fingers, but they're candles, and they're different colors, they're very nice. And each kid would get to put one candle, you know, each day. So one of them would pick odd, one of them would pick even, and so forth. And basically it was a candle, and you had a little piece of Velcro in the back, and there was a flame that you attached that, you know, would sit up against the back of the thing. The candle itself, though, was actually round. It was a, you know, like a foam, again, looked like a finger. It was round, looked like a cylinder, a foam cylinder. The candle, the flame itself, though, was, you know, flat, like I said. So we've used that since, you know, our kids were, oh my gosh, we've probably used it for around 25 years because Jacob is going to be 28. And I don't remember if we had it before Jane was born or not. We probably did, but I don't remember. Again, it's going back a ways. So we always did that. And then we always put up a Christmas tree. And when we lived in our house in Media, that Christmas tree went into another room. It was away from our dog, whose name was Zamboni, also a golden retriever. And we would wrap the room up and the kids would come down and for Christmas morning, and we'd wait, and they couldn't go through. We'd put wrapping paper on the entry. It was wider than a single door. It was a pretty wide opening. It was into a room called the builder called the great room, and it was nice because it was out of the way there, and again the dog couldn't get to it. And so we would do Christmas breakfast. That was our big thing. And you know, everybody came over. My parents would come over. Liz's parents would come over. Liz's sister and either fiance or husband, and then later on her, you know, our niece, and I think her sister Suzanne would also come down, at least at the beginning. I don't remember them coming later on, later years, once their kids were getting a little bigger. But we had that, and it was a big thing, and everybody got gifts, and we did gifts, and it was nice. And you know, by 1-2 o'clock, everything was done. And that was when Christmas ended. And then Christmas Day from around 4 or 5 o'clock on was celebrated like Jews. Not the way I celebrated it as a kid, and I'll get to that in a second. We did like a lot of Jewish folks do. If you ever see a stereotypical sitcom where, you know, the Chinese places are busy on Christmas night, and it's filled with, I guess now, Jews and Muslims, you know, that's, we would go and get, you know, Chinese takeout and either go to the movies or watch a movie on video. And I guess early on it was on video, and then later on DVD if we didn't go to the movies. And again, some years we went to the movies. And it was great. We loved it because it was, again, not that I celebrated like that when I was a kid, But it was, you know, there was not this big double stressor of the day of having two waves of people coming, basically our family coming over for breakfast and then going home for a few hours and then coming back for dinner, or then us going somewhere else for dinner. You know, it was very relaxed after everything was cleaned up, and it was nice. Now, when I was a kid, my mom was raised Catholic, and she converted to marry my dad. So most of the Jewish traditions we did, but on Christmas night, we always had ham or turkey. And I know ham's not kosher, and there's no such thing as a kosher ham or any kosher pig. And what I found funny is some of my friends who both parents were raised Jewish would also do a Christmas dinner like that. And I liked it. I always enjoyed it. And again, back then when I was a kid, you didn't eat turkey more than two or three times a year. Thanksgiving, Christmas, and, you know, maybe one rare other day. So it was nice, but the Chinese food thing is great and I loved it. And that's, you know, that's what we've done since. Now, it's become a lot different since, you know, both my parents are gone. Liz's father's gone. Liz's mother is not very mobile. So we really don't get together for Christmas. We'll go over to Liz's mother's house and wish her Merry Christmas sometime on Christmas Day, probably through a glass window. We were going in for into the house the last couple of times, but with COVID spiking, you know, we don't want to pass that on to her. And I'll get to that story in a minute with COVID. But we are concerned over the last 11 months that we've had Ziggy, and it'll be a year, January 10th, Easter and Thanksgiving were two emergency vet trips. The one on Easter required surgery that we were very concerned about. And, you know, we really thought things were bad. It turned out, you know, the only bad thing about it was the $4,500 bill. But Thanksgiving, he had, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, he had eaten some things that fell on the floor that were just out of the oven, burnt his throat and his mouth and who knows, maybe his stomach, and just wasn't eating, wasn't drinking because it hurt. So he got medicine and whatnot. You can go back a couple episodes and listen to that. So here comes another major holiday. So we are concerned that something may happen there. And I'm mentioning all this because Liz put up our Christmas tree today. And our Christmas tree is not huge. It's a fake tree. I mean, it looks like a real tree, but, you know, it's fake. And no sense, again, the way Ziggy loves wood chips, there's no way I'd bring any kind of live tree in because he would start nibbling on it, I'm sure. But Liz put it up today. And, you know, again, we knew all along that, you know, this might be an issue. And sure enough, not more than an hour ago when I was on the phone with my friend Alex, I hear Liz say to him, "What are you doing? What do you have?" And it was an ornament from the tree. What kind of ornament, you ask? It was his ornament. So I don't know how he knew that that was for him, or because it was wood, he just went for it. And he had it in his mouth. I don't think he was chewing on it, but he had it in his mouth. Who knows if he was going to swallow it or not? That would have required a trip to the emergency vet out in Norristown, 40 minutes away. But fortunately, we got it from him and Liz put it up higher, but I'm interested to see if he still tries to go for it because it is up higher where he'd have to get on his back legs to get up and get it, which he does very easily. Every night I train him for that as I toss him pieces of broccoli and he jumps for them and, you know, gets up. It's actually kind of funny. I should video it while we're doing that. But fingers crossed for us, please, that Ziggy does not eat anything else off of the tree. And now I'm going to give a fantasy sports update. But I do have a call from someone who wants to chime in on fantasy sports. And I'll talk about it after we listen to this.
Yes, this is Frank from Pug Posse. I was just wondering if you would be providing fine Cuban cigars, handmade, after I beat you next week.
Oh, I absolutely love it. Thank you, Frank, for calling in. And again, if you want to chime in and be part of the show, 646-926-6350. Here is the funny thing, and it's not really funny in my eyes. It's sad. Frank will not be playing me next week. Why, you ask? Because somebody else on the other end of the standings beat somebody they shouldn't have? No, because I lost. One and done in the playoffs this year. It was a miserable showing by FC Tunguska 08. I did not have one touchdown. Not one. The only one who found the end zone was my wide receiver, DJ Moore. He had a two-point conversion. That was it. I finished with less than 100 points and got blown out by Ed. And so, Frank, here's my here's my tip for you. I would start harassing Ed about Applebee's. And I'll tell that story in a second. But I am done. So Frank is playing Ed, and Brian is playing Nick. Now, I may be wrong here, but I think the only other time that Brian and Nick played when it wasn't for the championship, Brian beat Nick and got to the championship. And that was when he beat me in the championship a few years ago. So I was very disappointed by losing. And then I started thinking back to those early days in September when we did the draft in New York. And it just put a smile on my face. And I couldn't be disappointed anymore because it was such a great thing doing the draft. And if you want to watch that video, icantseeyou.com/football. That'll take you to the video over on YouTube, Yahoo's YouTube channel. And Artie has received about 500,000 views, not specifically through that channel, but through all of the different places it was viewed. I know CNN had picked up the story in a couple other places, which I don't remember. But a lot of places picked it up and had articles and had the video running on their site as well. But again, over 500,000. So it was just so much fun. And again, maybe this might be the last time. It probably will be the last time that I mention this in 2021. Buckeye hairless nuts. Just love saying it. Never gets old. And I'm looking forward to next year, although I guess we're not going to get together for next year's draft, which is sad because it was so much fun getting together and meeting everyone in person. So I am done. And it's a good thing because I found out today through the Yahoo Fantasy Sports app, which again is great if you need an app for accessibility that or that's accessible because you can't see and that means you're blind. I don't know why I don't just say blind and always use the words can't see. But if you're blind and you're looking to play fantasy sports, Yahoo's app is outstanding. So I lost in football, like I mentioned. And to make matters worse, with all the crazy COVID stuff that's going on, I thought I had a chance to win in hockey. And it looked really good until a whole bunch of games started to get canceled. I was playing a guy that scores 8 million points a week, and I thought I had a chance to beat him, and I ended up losing by 15 points. Now, here's the kicker. And I know there are no kickers in hockey, but here's the kicker. When you make a change to your roster, my lineup was getting reset, and I don't know if that's a bug or if that was something else. But I had set my lineup for a few days, which I like to do because, you know, I want to make sure all my guys who have games are playing. And I did that. But then somebody got hurt, or I picked up somebody because I saw somebody else had dropped the guy I wanted, and I picked up this guy. And my roster reverted to the last time the lineup had played. Whatever the last lineup was that played was then now set as my starting lineup. So I didn't know this. And on one night, three or four guys that I had set to play were now on my bench. And the bottom line was, had those guys remained in my starting lineup, I would have won by 10 points because those guys scored 25 points for those games that they played. And we use a points basis, and it's a little hard to figure sometimes, but you know, it is what it is. And you know, again, I've enjoyed it, and hopefully we can move on with the season. I know it's going to be rough this week, and I think I've already lost this week. And again, because the NHL has shut down early, I think I have like 26 points. I think I'm losing 29-26. So I'm now lost two or three in a row, and now well out of first place. And if I may be in the middle of the pack now after these 2 weeks. But it was a very dismal week. And again, thank you, Frank, for calling in. I do appreciate that. And best of luck to you against Ed. And again, just a great season. And it was so much fun getting together. And thanks so much to Brian for getting that all set up with the video and keeping the league going and just setting up the league. I mean, again, this is the sixth season for the league. And has just been so much fun, and everybody's trash talking in the message boards, and it's just been great. And I will point this out too, and this I thought is funny, and this has nothing to do with our league, but Frank had also posted this in the message boards. So a couple of weeks ago, Buffalo got hosed by a couple of bad calls, and someone of a Bill supporter had made some comment about donating to a blind organization, and this blind organization got all these donations in the amounts of a couple of guys' numbers, 17 for Josh Allen. I forget what number Stephon Diggs is. I want to say he's 14 or a combination. I don't quite remember, but you know, they made some money because they were donating for the refs who were evidently were blind and missed a call or two. But pretty funny. I will try and find the actual article and link to that in the show notes, here in the, within your podcast player or on the show notes page if I can't find it before I post the episode. So I do have a couple of things to talk about, and they are related. Jane came home from New York for Christmas, which we knew was going to happen. And she was really looking forward to it because she loves to come home and spend time with Ziggy. And Ziggy loves when she comes home. He goes nuts when she comes home. And it is hysterical to watch. So I guess she came home on Sunday. She was originally supposed to come home on Monday. That is the 20th. She ended up coming home on Sunday the 19th. And she came home early because of the rising COVID cases in New York. And the scary thing was, four people on her team and another one in her office tested positive for COVID. And we thought, okay, we're going to bring her home and she's going to have it, because how could she not have it? She's sitting across from the one girl. And she is, working with the other girl, in close quarters. And in fact, after the girl had taken the COVID test, she went, she didn't feel great, but she didn't feel horrible. After she did the rapid COVID test that you go to CVS and buy if you can find it on the shelves, it turned out it was positive. Jane handed her the Lysol wipe so she could wipe this stuff down that she touched on, in the office. And of course, then Jane went and washed her hands because it was a positive test and, the girl went home. So we thought, sure, Jane was going to have it, which was very ironic because Jane was the most vigilant of all of us. When a package would come into the house, she would wipe it down. When the mail came into the house, she would wipe it down. She wouldn't go out. She would change her clothes to wear something else out. And then before sitting down on anything, when she came back in, would then, change back into her inside clothes. And so we thought, how ironic. Jane is going to be the one to bring in COVID. So Liz had already scheduled a test for her on Wednesday, so yesterday. But we didn't want to wait that long because we had things to do, which is going to be the second part of what I tell you about today. Liz and I were going to St. Lucie School for the Blind and Visually Impaired yesterday. So we couldn't wait for her to have a test on Wednesday because we needed to know, because if she had it, we didn't want to go there knowing that we were around someone who had COVID. So, and she didn't take the test in New York because she never felt like she had any symptoms. And she didn't want to go and stand in line and, you know, in the line, her roommate did. And the wait was, I want to say over 2 hours that she stood in line. Now, you know, the bad thing about that is, you know, you may be standing in line with somebody who has it. So why would you, if you don't feel like you have it, why would you go do it there? A lot easier to do it around here where it wasn't as easy when I did it before the football draft. But it was still easy enough to go and, you know, get the testing locally here in Delaware County. So then we're scrambling to find a place for Jane to get tested because, you know, there's one place that you could go to that would charge. But all in all, we found one. They had a pop-up testing place very close to our house at the Springfield Mall, which is around 2 miles from our house. So that all worked out. So Jane went there. That was Monday afternoon. And we thought, well, what are we going to do from the time she gets in on Sunday afternoon until we get the results whenever they come? And she was having both tests, both the rapid and then the PCR. Well, Jacob was off Monday and Tuesday. Now, the way our house is set up, and again, as I've mentioned before, it's a twin. So, you know, there are three bedrooms upstairs on the top level. One is very small. So that was Jane's office when she's working from home and now Liz's office. And now Jane actually worked in there on Monday when she came home because they, of course, in New York, they shut down the office. They didn't want anybody going in. So Jane worked from there on Monday. It's Liz's office usually. Downstairs here across from Studio B is Jacob's bedroom. And we thought, well, what are we going to do? Because Jacob is working all week. Liz is a teacher. She was done on Friday. Their Christmas break started. I'm sorry. I think they call it winter break. Whatever. It's over the Christmas and New Year holidays. So Liz was off. You know, we've all been vaccinated. Liz, Jacob, and I have all been boosted. And again, that doesn't mean you're not going to get it because as seen by Cory Booker and Elizabeth Warren and boatloads of others, you know, you still get it. It's just not maybe as severe and maybe you don't die from it, but you still get it. And we didn't want Jacob to, again, come in contact with somebody that has COVID. So there is a bathroom on our main level, but it's closed off from the kitchen and living room area. So, you know, Jane didn't go in that area into that bathroom, and rarely does she, so it wasn't a big deal. So Jacob basically had the bottom floor. And again, I was still coming into Studio B, hopefully not while Jacob was, you know, out of his room. And it was nice because Jacob was able to stay down here. We had a spare microwave that we had from our condo that I never sold, and it turned out to come in handy. So, you know, that's plugged in down here. We have a fridge down here, so we had, you know, some meals for him. So he never had to come into the main part of the house. He could stay in the basement and, you know, again, into the bathroom on the main level that was closed off from the rest of the house. So that worked out. But we're waiting for the test, and it was killing us. There was nothing rapid about the results. Jane's test was scheduled for, I want to say 1:20 or 1:10. And I don't know if we found out that day, if it was later that day or first thing the next morning, that was negative. And we were happy with that. But again, just because you get a negative rapid test doesn't mean the PCR test is also going to be negative. So while we were pretty comfortable with that, we still knew that it could go the other way, you know, with the PCR, which is, for whatever reason, I guess, you know, more reliable. And so we had to wait another day for that, which we found out yesterday, Wednesday, after St. Lucie. But again, it was also negative. So, you know, that it all worked out. But that really had us concerned for going to St. Lucie. We don't want to go into a school with, you know, 30 kids and who knows how many other adults. And, you know, if we've been exposed to COVID. And again, who knows? You know, Jacob works with the public. Who knows if anybody's come to him that may have it? And again, you know, not even know that they have it. So we were happy that, you know, Jane did not have it. And it just made things a lot easier because we, you know, Liz had loaded up at the grocery store on Sunday and, you know, with produce. And you know, she goes to a different store for that. But loaded up with all that stuff just in case she wasn't able to get out. Again, because she didn't want to go out if she knew she was exposed to somebody that had it. You know, no matter what you think with COVID, you still have to think about some other folks, especially if you've been exposed to it. At least I think you do. You know, if you don't, I guess, you know, you have your opinion as well. So the trip to St. Lucie's, which I think I mentioned before, St. Lucie, when we went a couple of years ago, there was a kid that was bad and couldn't participate in our gift giving and cupcake eating portion of the program. So he didn't get a cupcake, and we're not sure to this day if he was able to get his gift or not. Hopefully he was. But I can happily report that all kids that were at school yesterday were in with us at St. Lucie School for the Blind and Visually Impaired. And it was a lot of fun, as always. One of the teachers dresses up. There's a husband and wife there. One dresses as Santa. One is Mrs. Claus. And so we went into the room, and then the kids came in, and they sang a couple of Christmas songs. And then you hear, you know, the bells of Santa and Mrs. Claus coming down the hallway, and the kids were getting very excited. Now, again, you know, I can't see very well, which I think you already knew. But I could see one little girl on the end of the row across the room from me. I couldn't make out the others because there were kids behind kids and, you know, everything was just, you know, like I've mentioned before, when there's one thing on a table, I can kind of tell there's something there. When there's a bunch of things on the table, it looks like just one giant thing and I can't make one thing out from another. But this girl was sitting on the end, so I could see her. She was so excited. And it was so awesome to see the excitement that she had. You know, she was like shaking and jumping and just, she couldn't wait to see Santa. And it was just awesome. It was just so nice to see. It was just unreal. And I mentioned it to Liz. Liz and I weren't standing near one another when all this went down. And she also noticed her. Her name was Ariana. And which is funny because going back to my almost youth, one of my favorite bands when I was a kid and early 20s was a band called Alphaville. And on an album called Breathtaking Blue, they did a song called Ariana. So it's, you know, it was just funny when I heard her name, because they called everybody's name out one at a time to get their gifts. And they went up and hugged Mrs. Claus and Santa and got their gift. And the cool thing about the gifts was they were all basically games and toys for blind and visually impaired kids, or people, I guess I should say, because some of them were, you know, were just games that anybody would even want to play, like Uno, or there was Connect Four, and the kids genuinely all seemed to like their gifts, which was great. I mean, it was everything about it was good. The kids were excited. They were happy. Now, it could also be that yesterday was their last day of school until their break, and they were going home early. They already had candy, evidently, one of the teachers said, and then we brought cupcakes, and I'll get to the cupcakes in a minute. And it was just so nice to see the excitement, especially with Ariana. You know, Liz said to me that she noticed it and she thought she was going to cry by watching it, because again, it's, you know, it's so genuine. It wasn't like, oh, okay, maybe, you know, pretend you liked it. Even if it's a gift you didn't like. I mean, she was genuinely excited, and it was just so nice to see. And, you know, and all the kids were excited and they sang a few more songs, and, it was just a nice morning. you know, to be with the kids. And now we also had Simon with us, and that was also nice because Simon and I got to talk coming and going to the, and Liz too, but, you know, Simon and I were talking about blind stuff, which, you know, I don't always get a chance to talk about. You know, Liz doesn't want to talk about, you know, blind, you know, tech or things like that, and doesn't always get, you know, some of the issues that I have with my phone and things like that. And I'll mention the phone in a minute because I know I talked about it last week, the greatness of the pictures, but I found some other issues. So it was just a nice day to be there and hang out with those kids for the little bit of time. And it was also nice that when they sang Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, they allowed the kids to be the smart Alex with all the, you know, added words that you use. If you ever listen to The Simpsons, you know, playing any reindeer games like Monopoly and stuff like that. So that part was cool too. And that was primarily, I could hear a kid named Sean who was he seemed to be the smart Alec in I don't know if it was fourth and fifth grade or fifth and sixth grade or whatever. He was very vocal with stuff like that. And they let him do it. And he wasn't the only one, but he was the one that pointed out that Santa Claus sounded a lot like Mr. And I don't know what his last name was, who worked at the school. And again, I don't know if he's a teacher, just some other sort of staff member there, but a lot of fun. And then after that assembly ended, and again, I think there's around 30 kids in the school. After the assembly ended, we took the cupcakes that we brought and we went to each classroom. And it's two grades per classroom. So it's K and one, two and three, four and five, and so forth. I wonder if I'm doing that right because I know it's seven and eight, or maybe it's six, seven, eight. I don't know. But there was at least, four classrooms. And so we went around and, you know, Liz was the one carrying, it was a big box and we got 48 cupcakes. Liz is carrying them around and, you know, going to each kid and, you know, giving them out. And, we wished each, as we leave the classroom, wishing them everybody there a Merry Christmas and then moved on to the next. Got in the car, came home, well, dropped Simon off, came home, and we decided to try a cupcake. Now we got the cupcakes from Maria's Primetime Bakery, which is one that we go to fairly often, not as much since we discovered Sophisticakes in Drexel Hill, but we didn't think we'd be over by Drexel Hill. And funny thing is, that's where Simon lives. We probably could have just ordered them from there, although Liz does not like their cupcakes very much. I don't know why. They're just not usually as good as Maria's, although this will be the last time we use Maria's. We tried a cupcake when we got home, and it was not a day old. It seemed like days old. You know, the top of the cupcake, not the icing, but the top of the cupcake and the bottom of the cupcake were both hard. You know, not crunchy hard, but hard that you can tell it was a couple days old. And I was shocked that they were that bad. So I was kind of embarrassed that we took those. And again, you know, next year, we'll find something else to take. And Liz had already suggested we'll take them nothing bundt cake. And if you have one of those near you, give it a try because those things are awesome. They have really small ones, and then they have 600-calorie sized ones, which are a little bigger than cupcakes. You know, Liz and I usually split those. And then, of course, they have bigger ones. And they are delicious, and they usually have seasonal flavors. The winter season flavor is a chocolate peppermint, which it was really good. We had that last weekend. But they're just really good. I could really go for one now, actually. But yeah, Maria's, we're done. And it'll be interesting to see if Liz ever goes over there again to get, they make a donut over there that she likes with, frosting in the middle. And so we'll see if she still gets those. But it was just awful. And I was kind of surprised because they weren't really that expensive, and maybe that's why. I mean, we pre-ordered them, but they were only $1.50 each. So, if you want to reach out and let me know via email or even via phone or at David Benj on any of the socials, how much do you usually pay for a cupcake? Again, $1.50 seems pretty cheap. I know that when we've picked up cupcakes in New York, you know, when visiting Jane or dropping Jane off or whatever, there's a place called Melissa's, and they make these little cupcakes and little macarons, which I usually get those. But the little cupcakes are also good, but I think those are $2 or $3 for the little ones. I mean, they're like bite size. So I'm interested to know, how much do you pay for a cupcake? So just to reach back and go back to what I was mentioning with the iOS, I have noticed a couple days after I got the new software, my alarm was going off at weird times. You know, I have a whole bunch of different alarms set in my phone, but I don't turn them on. I only turn on, usually my first alarm goes off at 8:30, and, you know, and that's, you know, when I get up, I might go into the bathroom and we have a little space heater that I put in there. And then I go back and get in bed and go through, you know, email messages or whatever, or go look at news or whatever, and then go get in the shower. Well, my alarm went off and I get up out of bed and I grab my phone to plug it in to charge it. And it says 7:46. I'm like, wait a minute, what time did I get up? Why am I getting up so early? I didn't set that alarm. What's the story? And I'm, you know, I didn't think too much of it. I figured, okay, somehow I made a mistake. Next day was fine. Day after that, my alarm goes off at, I have one for like 8:13, I have one set. And I get up, it goes off at that hour. I'm like, what the hell? So that night when I'm setting my alarms, again, for 8:30, and I do have others because, like, when I go to St. Lucie, you know, I had to get up earlier. You know, I got up at 7:15. So I watched as I set my alarm, and the focus jumps all over the place. I'm watching as I'm doing this. You know, I go and I touch the 8:30 button, and I see, again, I can't really make it out very well, but I could see that, you know, it's lit up. And so I double tap it to turn it on. But as I'm hitting, and again, with everything with VoiceOver, you always have to double tap. You know, Zombieland, remember that? Always double tap. So I'm double tapping on 8:30. But meanwhile, it's setting the alarm that's a couple of positions above it, which was 8 o'clock. And I'm like, no, I don't want the 8 o'clock one. I want the 8:30. So I shut off the 8 o'clock one. And then I go back and I touch 8:30 again. And again, before I can double tap, it moves, so I don't double tap. I try it again, and I touch 8:30, and then I watch it jump to another number, and I don't know what it was because it didn't say it out loud. I guess it said it to itself. That was pretty dumb to say it that way, wasn't it? So I waited a second before I did anything, and after a second went by, it then went back down, and the focus was then back down again on 8:30. So then I double tapped. And then it said, 8:30, alarm off. I'm like, wait a minute, I just turned it on. It wasn't on. And I touched 8:30 again, and it said, 8:30, alarm on. So it's a little weird, and I'm hoping and guessing they know of these bugs. And there are some other things, too, when I'll touch, you know, a headline for one thing and something else will start to be read to me or whatever. So there are still some issues. Again, the fact that you can take a picture and have the text read to you and to have those, all those emails from those corporations that are, I don't even know why they put the text in graphic form, because you know, if you're blind and you're not running iOS 15 or 15.1 in my case, you have no idea what it says. You know, it's not read to you because they never put in the alternative text. So that is the story with the phone. And I do have one last thing, and that is
Blind People for Dummies tip of the week.
I didn't know what I was going to use this week for that. And again, I spare no expense on that awesome audio introduction by some stellar voice actor or voiceover specialist. None of those are true, by the way. Of course, that's me. So here is this week's tip that, you know, when I sit down and I think about what I'm going to do, I always, my mind goes blank. So I was looking around the internet over the weekend, and I'm like, what could I do? And I just typed in, I don't remember what I typed in to look around. And then this one popped up, and this has happened to me, and I can't believe I didn't use this already, because this was really annoying. And what it is, when you are talking, and let's say you are with a blind person and their spouse or their friend or their brother or their cousin or their mom or their dad, don't talk like that blind person isn't there. Don't say to the person who is with the blind person, would David like to have a drink? David's right next to you, buddy. Just say, hey, do you want to have a drink? What would you like? And this has happened to me on more than one occasion. And I don't know why. It made me feel like a little kid. If I want to eat something or drink something or do something, just ask. Just ask me. Don't ask Liz or my kids. Hey, do you think your dad would like to watch the Cowboys game? Well, it depends who they're playing, but probably. Especially if they're going to lose. Although, it's been horrifying. I've actually rooted for them, I think, 2 weeks in a row when they played Washington and the Giants. Because helpful for the Eagles. But again, when you are with a blind person and someone else is with them, meaning a spouse or whatever, and you want to know if that blind person wants something or to do something, just ask the blind person. No need to ask someone else. Blind guy or girl's right there next to you. Hey, do you want to go here? Or, hey, do you want to have this? Just ask. And again, that has happened to me on more than one occasion, and I know I've mentioned it to a couple of friends already, but just ask the person. Ask the blind person. It's okay. We don't bite, usually. Maybe. So that is all I have this week, and I really do appreciate you listening to episode 159. And again, very Merry Christmas to you and your family. I hope you're staying safe and you're being well. Show notes for this episode at icantseeyou.com/159. Remember, I can't see you sounds like a whole sentence, but it is only 7 characters long. icantseeyou.com/159. I do appreciate you listening. I hope everything is going well for you, and please continue to stay safe. And I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the I Can't See You podcast with David. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. And don't forget to share the podcast with your friends.